Well, hello, Living Stones. What a great evening it is. Welcome to Midweek. I'm Andrew West, one of the pastors, and we've got one of my good friends, Michael, here.
Yes.
And this is going to be fun. Okay, I've got to admit, Michael, you're one of my heroes at the moment. I just got to put it straight. I love this guy. And your family, I've got the pleasure to meet Tasha and your son Michael, even your grandson Prince. Yes. And what a blessing that you're part of our community, part of our family now. Yes. You've come over quite a few times to our family and prayed for us and prayed healing. And I just want to boast on you for a couple of moments before we get into it. We're talking about healing again tonight. And there's a few people that the Lord has really blessed us with in this church, with a ministry anointing for healing. And you and Tasha are two of them that I call up immediately and I think of when the need arises. I got to just say, my youngest son, Lucas, had a TMJ injury, which is a really painful jaw injury, and it takes months to get over. So I called up Michael and Tasha to come over, and they spent time talking and praying. And I'll never forget what you said. You said, look, okay, God's going to heal you. And you're looking at my son and you're saying, it's going to get worse tonight. He hadn't been able to sleep for the last two or three nights because the pain was so bad. And said, you're going to sleep like a baby tonight. The pain's going to get worse this evening, but then you'll sleep like a baby and you're going to wake up 100% healed. And I'm just thinking, oh, Lord, let it be, let it be. And you know what? He woke up the next morning, 100% healed.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah. And I heard your story, your testimony from last week. And if you haven't seen that testimony, heard the testimony on the midweek, go and do yourselves a favor and go watch it. Amazing. So, amazing upbringing, single mum, four boys.
Yeah.
Four boys in my family. So, I know, your mum's a hero too.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you were a courier lad. You were a courier for a bank.
Uh-huh.
And you worked at the bank and you became vice president of that bank.
Yes. Mate. That's great.
So you're not only good-looking, you're also smart. And also, Michael's one of my hunting buddies. We go hunting together occasionally, and I won't tell him what happened the last trip.
Oh, and don't tell that story.
Oh, come on. You missed it twice. So we're going to talk about healing again tonight, one of my favorite topics and something that the Lord has blessed you with. So a couple of questions that's been burning on my heart. So initially a bit of a skeptic being a scientist by trade, but I've seen so many healings in this church. We've seen so many healings. People getting out of wheelchairs, cancer's being removed. And it's a fact. And now at this church, not only do we believe in healing miracles, we rely upon them.
Absolutely.
And we depend upon them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I think, we rely on these healings. As a matter of fact, I'm just thinking of an old quote from the late Dr. Lester Summerall. He says these gifts are not given to us to make us different from each other, but these gifts are given to us to perfect our work in the ministry.
Right.
Yeah, so if we can put that in contrast, God is pouring out these gifts on us, not to make us different, but to perfect our ministry work.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. I mean, okay, because we're talking about healing as a gift all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard some people say, oh, it's his primary gift. Oh, no, it's only his secondary gifting. How come some people are more gifted at others in praying for healing and seeing results? Why is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, let me just first say, I'm not an expert on this subject, but what I've experienced in my own life, I do have a few gifts that flow that seem to be more natural than other gifts. So perhaps we do have primary gifts or some that flow more naturally through us. And I've operated in just all of those gifts, the nine gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 at some period of time. But, I believe that when someone has a dominant gift and we're working and praying with someone, and I believe that those gifts just kind of show up and for the time and the opportunity. And so gifts that I would primarily work in, I'm not working and operating in those gifts because there's someone else who's using that gift.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a gifting that I want. I mean, 10 minutes ago, there's a homeless guy out there with a swollen foot. Mm. And I went over and I prayed for him. This is one thing I've been learning as a pastor here at Livingstone. It's like, yeah, just going up and praying for people.
Yeah.
It's just, if you're going to go and hit home runs, you've got to take some swings.
Yes.
And I'm swinging a lot. I'm not saying a lot, I don't think. But here's one thing that I have realized, that if I go up to a stranger, in the past, it was like, oh, man, I'm going to sound like an idiot. Can I pray for you? But the thing is, and then most of them, only one person has ever said, no, don't pray for me. But most right. of the time, you pray for them, and if nothing happens, they're blessed anyway. Like,
that's great,
dude, this guy prayed for me. He cares enough for me to pray for me. And so it's a win. And if they're healed, it's even more of a win.
That's correct. You know, one of the things I've learned, Andrew, is you've got to make yourself vulnerable if you're going to be used by God. Because I've prayed for some people, and they've rejected me.
Yeah.
And all kinds of things will happen, but you have to risk being vulnerable in order to see these supernatural gifts flowing through you.
Like one of my heroes, Todd White, apparently he prayed for someone like 900 people. He prayed 900 times for different people without seeing anyone healed. And then all of a sudden, boom, he started seeing healings. So I don't know if it was like heaven going, oh my gosh, just give him a gift, someone. But it's that tenacity that I love. And I want to still keep on praying for people, even though I don't think I have a primary gift, whatever that means.
Yeah, right.
But only because I think it shows the love of Jesus for that person.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing we need to remember is that the best gift is the gift of salvation and being reconciled
Amen.
To Christ.
Amen.
You know, even if we don't receive healing in our physical bodies, the best gift is just the ministry of reconciliation and that Christ reconnect us with himself.
See, that's one thing that struck about me about you and Tasha's ministry. I mean, it's just crazy. Even last night you came over and prayed with us, my wife. Funny, she had another. It was a abscess in her tooth, and you came over, and I expect you to come and anoint her with oil, and you know, but you sat there, you and Tash, and we listened for the Lord, and listened and listened. I'm kind of like, come on, say the magic words and go. Or say those really important words and not go, but let's get on with. But you listened to the Holy Spirit. You asked Tasha, and it really struck me. That Jesus was there, he was involved, we were co-laboring with Jesus, and it was like a reconciliation. And that's essentially what healing is, isn't it?
It really is. It is the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We really enjoy it, just seeing people reconciled back to Christ, you know, through these gifts that he's given all of us. They're free gifts, you know, and we just pray and ask God for these free gifts, and he'll let them flow in us.
How do we get to that point? Is there a point where we start seeing more healings when we pray for people? Is there a point? Or, you know, I want to see a better batting average, just a bad analogy. But do we get more practice? Or what do you think?
Well, I just think last time with meeting with Bill, one of the things we just discussed is that we just continue to pray and believe God and don't keep score of the ones that don't get healed. You know, just do Philippians 4, think of those things that are good, lovely, honorable, pure, good report things. Just fix our mind on those things.
Yeah.
And just, you know, because it's not us, it's God working through us. So
I
think we put ourselves really on the weight on our shoulders to say that, man, if this person doesn't get healed, it's my fault. You know,
it's not us. That's so true. It's not us or our methodologies.
No.
Yeah, it's Jesus that does the healing. I mean, we had a healing night here years ago, and I was running the evening, and I said, okay, here are the rules of the night. You've got to be here. We have to lay hands on you. We've got to do this. We have to, you know. And then somebody called on in the cell phone, and I got irritated, you know. And so Aunt Betsy from Idaho has got stomach cancer. I'm like, okay, look, this is not part of the plan. You're meant to be here. And I told them that, look, I don't think this is cool. You know, so anyway, we prayed over the phone. Look, Jesus never prayed over the phone. Anyway, we prayed over the phone. And you know what? Aunt Betsy was healed.
Oh, praise God.
It's like, it's what the Lord saying, silly, I can heal whoever I want, however I want. And that methodologies of sin, or you have to say it this way, or you have to say it this way.
No.
That's not right, is it?
No methods at all. As a matter of fact, I've prayed healing over a Zoom conference calls in 2020.
Hang on, is that godly? Right.
Well, you know, Jesus used different methods.
Absolutely.
To do it, you know.
Right on. So I noticed that you're starting, and I'm so pleased that you're starting a ministry here in Kona, because we want to keep you. You know, we want to keep you here. We need you here. So tell me a little about the healing rooms.
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's three primary critical purposes for a healing room, and one being that it unites a city, any city, because the entire body of Christ are gathering, working together for one accord and one purpose. Kind of sounds like the book of Acts. And then secondly, really to bring healing and restoration to the individuals that are being prayed for. You know, their spirit, soul, and body is what Paul talks about with the Church of the Thessalonians, that he prayed that their spirit, soul, and body be preserved until the return of Jesus Christ, you know.
Yeah, and I love the way you're already praying for people. You guys are cruising on Friday nights and Saturday nights looking for opportunities in the island, this side of the island, to pray for people.
Sure.
You know, I've even heard that you've gone past a demoniac that's manifesting and just saying, salvation is coming to you. And they're manifesting even more. It's like, no. You guys are so brave. I love it. Yeah. But your this input, this blessing into the community now is going to be great. Well, how does it work? How do the healing rooms work?
Yeah, so an individual that's desiring healing, I envision, will come to a healing room and sign in. And then spend a few minutes maybe into some soaking worship music. Wow. You know, we have to have that be still and know time. Yeah. Just relax their mind and let all of the weight off. And then after that, they'll go into the room and be prayed by at least two healing room trainers.
Okay.
And so just probably for a half an hour or so, I would envision, we'll listen with empathy in the room to the needs and what they're saying. And after that, we'll offer a prayer, but just a prayer. No, we're not practicing medicine. And so, you know, it really is important to remember that. You know, we're not telling people, okay, you're healed now. Don't take your prescribed medicine anymore. Of course, any of that stuff, you know, we'll say just go and see your physician.
I walk in, soaking time, just relaxing. And then there's always a couple of people there.
Sure.
Yeah. Ministering, just spending time listening to the Lord, and that's what I love about the way you guys minister. Just listen to the Lord, and before you even start praying for people.
Yes, because every individual is different.
Yeah,
you know, and we just have to hear the Holy Spirit, and we just begin to rely on the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And our everyday walk should be that way, just relying on the Holy Spirit. Okay, what do you have for me today? You know, and so that's really the way we approach healing and just ministering with anyone. So
how do they pray? Is there any kind of methods? Or you said that completely Holy Spirit led.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No particular method. I mean, we could use anointing oil if they feel led to use anointing oil. It's not necessary, but you really could pray in that way. And just pray, anoint the spot that needs to be healed, or just lay hands. If someone now in this age that we're in don't desire for hands to be laid, we can just pray.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you're really sensitive to that, to the person being receiving.
Yes, it's very important that a person feels really comfortable and at peace when they're being prayed for. And so we just really need to seek their needs and their desires, and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest.
I just love it. Again, I always keep on saying this, but the largest church on the island at one stage in history was, in the world, was on this island.
Wow.
And that's over on the Hilo side, a church of 24,000 people in a town of only 10,000. There was such a move of God happening on this island, and I believe this island is going to be leading now in in healings and in prophecy, and there's something very special about this island. So I think this is the very first time this may have happened, where we set up the healing rooms. I can just see healings happening. I can see deliverances.
Yes.
People getting set free.
Yes.
Reconciliation, being reconciled to God. I love that. I love the way you said that. Because all of us are going to be healed in the end.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to be going to heaven, but the most important thing is being reconciled with the Lord.
Oh, absolutely.
With the Father. And going to a healing room and being healed is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Isn't it awesome? I believe the Lord is leading many people to this island for something that's getting ready to happen here. And so we were the same way. You know, until 2017, I didn't know anything about Kona, Hawaii, if there was any such city. Yeah, so anyway, just so it happened that God led us here, and now we're here. We're on an assignment, and we come to join in with what God is doing, right?
Kailua Kona, this is where it's happening. This is where it's happening.
absolutely.
And you've brought some, I've noticed you brought some quality people from the Carolinas with you, and everyone I see is like quality. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah,
thank you for bringing that that crew over. Yeah. So, okay, a question people always ask, what does it cost? I go to the healing rooms, am I expected to pay stuff? How does that work?
Yeah, well, no cost to anyone that needs to be prayed for. You know, when Jesus spoke to his disciples in the book of Matthew, he sent them out and said, freely you receive, freely give. And I believe that's what we're supposed to be doing. These gifts are free from God and they're for the body. And so we freely give these gifts. Yeah. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. So I want to see more healings when I pray for people. What tips can you give me? Oh, wise one. You tell me. And he really is.
You just have to just be vulnerable. Just keep praying. And again, if someone doesn't receive their healing right away, that it's manifest, you believe that the healing has taken place already. You know, by his stripes, we were healed, is what Peter says.
Yeah.
And so 2,000 years ago, we were healed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so that healing just needs to manifest itself through the body. And so you believe, you've prayed, and you believe God that his word says by his stripes we were healed. And you walk in that, and you just believe that.
So you're telling me any believer can pray for someone, and that person can be healed?
Well, here it is again. We have these nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, and maybe there are dominant gifts. I feel like that I have, again, as I mentioned earlier, two or three gifts that I seem to operate in that ain't just come natural.
Yeah.
And maybe the gift of healing is not a natural gift for someone, and they may find that, you know, a little more work, labor on their part as they think to see a manifestation of healing. But I really think that we should just flow in the gifts that naturally come to us.
Yeah.
You know?
I was doing a lot of thinking about this and trying to find a clever analogy. And it's like, but one, and it's just very imperfect analogy. It's like, our brakes are gone in our trucks.
Yeah.
But we have tools and we have some sort of knowledge to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize they do have some tools, mm-hmm. and they just need to practice it a few times, and they'll, hey, I can do this, you know? And but there's a lot of people that it just comes very natural to. They were born with a wrench in their hand. They know how to do it.
Yes.
There's other guys like me that had to do it, you know, because they didn't have the finances in college to fix my car, so I had to do it. And so the more and more you practice it, and the tools, you have to have the tools. Jesus has given us the tools. Purchased those and given us the tools. And now it's just doing it and learning it.
Sure. The gifts that have come easy to you, those are the ones you should be perfecting.
Yeah.
I really believe. You know, there's going to be times that where one of those nine gifts God is going to allow you to operate in because there's no one there with that particular gift is needed at the time.
Yeah.
And I've had this to happen personally, and Tasha has as well, that, you know, there's nobody there with a prophetic word. And so I don't easily flow in the gift of prophecy, more of the gift of faith and wisdom and knowledge and healing. But I have spoken a prophetic word.
I've heard you, some boomers I've heard you deliver.
Yeah. And, if there's someone that I'm ministering with who has the strong gift of prophecy, then I don't flow in that gift at all. You know, my gift is the gift of faith then, and I'm just believing with them of this word going forth that it comes to pass. And this is the way the body of Christ is supposed to work.
I love it.
Everything unified.
Yeah.
You know, this is how we're going to see another outpouring that Joel talked about
and
that happened in the book of Acts, is that when we unify ourselves as the body, beyond denominational lines, beyond churches, et cetera, et cetera, and we just come together as one, on one accord with the same purpose in mind, and we'll see magnificent things happen. Yeah.
Amen. So like the healing room, so me like actually saying, you know what, I got the tools, but I'm going to the master mechanic. Well, I guess the Lord's the master mechanic, but I'm going to somebody who knows a little bit more about it and the healing process than I do. And that's why, again, personally, thank you for what how you've ministered to my family.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. Our pleasure.
It's been incredible.
Yeah.
So I want to get to that point to be able to pray for more and more people. And I encourage everyone, every Living Stones out there, no matter if you go to our church or just part of the body of Christ, start praying for people.
Yeah.
Stop praying. Just believing. Yeah. Start swinging.
Yes.
You know, unless swinging, we're not going to connect and hit home runs. And only if maybe we get to first or second base, but it's still out there swinging. Forget the pride. Forget the pride. I don't want to get to heaven and then just say, oh, I should have prayed for more people. And it was just my silly pride. It was my silly fear of man that stopped me doing that. If I had done that, I know God's sovereign and God maybe can connect with those people other ways. But I don't want to miss out on that blessing of seeing the Lord use me.
Yes, yes.
And seeing the hand of God moving.
Yeah, you know, just people that walk aside, people that are really operating in their gifts and are confident in those gifts, I really love to see them just come along and begin to have confidence in the gifts that God has given them.
Right.
And then they're out praying with people, as you're saying. And you get those call or texts and say, you know, I prayed for someone and they received their healing. You know, that is awesome.
Yes.
And I think it's just a duplication process. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hang out with people that are good at praying for people. it kind of rubs off.
It really does. Yeah.
And also testimonies. We want to hear good testimonies. Testimonies are so powerful. It builds our faith.
Yeah, absolutely. I think testimonies are the key to, you know, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimonies. So it just really empowers people even to receive their own healing, to go out and do work of the ministry. It's just really awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so amazing. God is God, and He loves using us, His fallible children. I remember praying when we had the couple of healing nights. One lady, this is a real cool testimony I always tell. One of our ladies who sings with us every Sunday. And we really didn't know what we were doing. We just, praying for healing for people. And she'd gone to the doctor. She didn't, she was clinically deaf in one ear. Mm. And she went for a hearing aid and the doctor said, oh, sweetheart, you don't even have the right bones. We can't do that because you don't. And she was disappointed. And we were praying, me and Ryan and a few others were praying for her. And she looks at me like shocked. You know, like I poked her in the ribs or something. She looks at me and I'm like, what? She said, I'm hearing this snap, crackle and pop in my ear. She's bawling.
Wow.
And she goes to the doctor and the doctor's just like scratching his head. Look, I don't know.
Praise God.
Last week you didn't have bones in those ears, like, you know, the inner ear bones. Now you do.
Wow.
This is like, whoa.
Wow.
God, you're so...
that's a working of a miracle.
Oh, it is. And we've seen so much of that. We've seen I want to see more of that in our church.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see... And we want to pursue all the gifts in our church.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to get to heaven and the Lord say, oh, you could have had these, but you're too embarrassed or you fear a man or you didn't step out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We want to use ourselves up. Let the Lord use us up before we get to heaven, right?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. So have you got any tips for us for praying for people, for healing? Just, you know, what would you say? What would you, you know?
Well, just pray the word of God over them.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we've got, you know, 66 books of it. And we'll just pray the word of God over the person. I do that a lot.
I've noticed that you do that every time you pray. You have two or three scriptures.
Yeah, God will give me certain scriptures to pray. And there's nothing better than praying the word of God over this person. So, you know, in our natural minds, we don't know what to pray or how to pray, as we all, Romans 8 says. But the Holy Spirit intercedes. And so we pray. Yeah. And, you know, I spend a lot of time praying in the Holy Spirit before I go out and pray with someone to just God will bring those things back to your remembrance. And, you know, and so I've sensed that those gifts are operating more when I've spent more time praying in the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Does the Lord ever tell you to fast for someone before you pray, or does that come into it at all?
Yeah, well, sometimes I have fasted. We fasted together for someone before we went to pray. But the fast, of course, is not for God. It's to get out our unbelief.
I love it.
You know, I'm fasting for myself.
I love it.
And just to get rid of my unbelief, get my mind cleared up.
Recalibrating ourselves with the Lord.
Absolutely.
Before we... Yeah, I love that.
That's exactly what it is.
Because sometimes I've done that. I've fasted, and it's ended like... end up being more of a hunger strike. Lord, and the Lord saying, look, I love you, son, but that's a hunger strike.
Yeah. Well, it's important to remember that there's no work we can do. The cross finished all of the work. And it is our labor, as Hebrews 3 and chapter 4 says, to enter his rest. And that is resting from human labor to cause something to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Lord, it's his Holy Spirit that causes all of it to happen. And if we can enter that rest, that this is not me,
it's not
dependent on me.
Yeah.
This is all about God.
I love that word rest. And
yes.
Wow. Well, it's amazing. It's an actual pleasure to be able to minister with you. And again, I love this guy so much. awe of how the Lord is using you in this. I'm so pleased that you've been obedient.
Yeah.
And come to Kona.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, these healing rooms are, you know, many people would remember Junji Lake.
Yes.
20th century as the founding starter of healing rooms.
Yeah.
But in fact, before him, there was John Howie. Many people might be familiar with from Europe, who started what was called healing homes.
Okay.
And as a result of those healing homes, even at some point, he had a hotel that sick people would come and at no cost and receive their healing, et cetera. Now, Junji Lake was familiar with John Howie, and Junji Lake's wife suffered from, I believe, heart disease and maybe tuberculosis or something, if my memory serves me right. And not to mention that Junji Lake also had 8 of his 16 siblings to die of disease.
Wow.
So he took 2 of his siblings to John Howie's healing home, and they received their healing. And from there, as the story goes, he traveled to Africa with John Howie, and they did magnificent work there, amazing stuff, before he returned and started what we know as the healing rooms in Spokane, Washington.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of them.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. And which was the early 1900s when Junji Lake started those. You know what was really interesting in some of my research? He was there for a period of about 5 years, and over a 5-year period, there was over 100,000 documented healings.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
It is just amazing of what God was doing through this man and his ministry, you know.
Wow.
And if my math doesn't fail me, that's about 55 a day for 5 years.
No
kidding. It is incredible.
So can you imagine? Yeah. I want everyone in our church to be praying, supporting the healing rooms, coming to the healing rooms when they want. But if you can imagine everyone in our congregation, really.
Yeah.
Pursuing the gift of healing, praying for people in the family's home. My wife has been bold enough to pray for people in her unsaved people in her work, and seeing almost immediate miracles.
Yes. Wow.
So if all of us in our congregation, which is close to, 1,700 people, whatever, going into the community, praying for healings, I mean, this is a move that's happening. So I love what God is doing now.
Yeah. Well, I love the gift of healing. I would pray that they would be believing for all of these gifts to manifest.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Sometimes we need a working of a miracle.
Yeah.
We need the word of wisdom or knowledge to manifest itself and et cetera. So all of these gifts are so much needed for the body as a whole.
I love it. Isn't it amazing? We have such a loving God that's given us all these gifts.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I want to be selfish in this, only in this case, and I want all the gifts.
Yeah.
I want to pursue those gifts, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Amen. Oh, well, I think we're pretty much out of time.
Wow.
I love hanging out with you, mate. You're just, you know, what an awesome guy. So can we just pray?
Yes.
So, Father, I just thank you. I love you, Lord. I love what you're doing here in Kona. I love what you're doing in the islands of Hawaii. And your spirit is just moving on the earth at the moment. And this is going to be a great year. This is going to be a great year. And I just want to pray blessings on Michael now in the name of Jesus. Blessings on Latasha in the name of Jesus. And blessing on this new step forward of obedience.
Thank
for the
you.
Healing room. So I just pray blessings upon it, Lord. Give wisdom and strength, Lord, and anointing. And Lord, we just thank you for this amazing church family you've given us.
Thank
Lord,
you.
Lord, not only do we believe in miracles, not only do we believe in healings, but we rely and we depend upon them.
Yes.
We depend upon you, Holy Spirit. So Lord, we just bless you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having me. Ha ha ha.